Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. My good friend Doug Birdsong in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Chiefs last night take apart the Denver Broncos.
Second down six. Charles again goes the right side again. The Chiefs.
Now ball comes off. The ball's ripped up. Picked up by Peters at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Obviously not the Broncos radio network. All right. The Chiefs with the call last night on the Chiefs radio network. With that, we bring in my good friend, and what a call he made on the game-winning overtime interception a couple of weeks ago. That was spectacular. Doug, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to be on the Steve Jones Show. And hey, you are the person who make all the great calls, and you've had quite a few of them here. I know last week that was kind of a tough one, but you've had quite a few of them with the Nittany Lions this season.
They've given me some good material to work with. Hopefully we've done a little bit of justice here. So, you're in a position now watching this Bucknell football team. You know, the Colgate thing was obviously one that was a little bit off the rails. But they've at least put themselves back in contention in this thing. What has that told you about the character of the team?
Oh, I think that character, it begins with the seniors, and I know you have Coach Susan on a regular basis, and that's one thing he is really, from the beginning of fall practice, that's one thing that he has harped on continuously, Steve, is that the senior leaders, not just the captains, but all really 19 seniors on this year's team, they are really good at not only leading a team, but also at working with some of the young men on the squad, trying to get them coached up, if you will, because they are almost like coaches on the field. Abdullah Anderson, I mean, from the very first practice this fall, he has done a terrific job with the younger guys on the defensive line, kind of showing them the finer points. And there are a few people in the Patriot League as really astute and knowledgeable about the defensive tackle position is Abdullah, and he is passing down that knowledge, which I think is a tremendous asset for the youngsters on this Bucknell team.
Doug, they've also been on the road three straight weeks. It's a little bit different than when Penn State goes on the road, that you're taking a charter. I know Penn State's playing more night games and things like that, so that's difficult part of it. But these are all bus trips. In some parts, do you get road weary from that? Did that play a role? I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Colgate, but that was three straight bus trips.
Well, I mean, you know, thankfully the one at Lafayette was short, and to be quite honest, even the one up at Cornell wasn't necessarily that long. I think maybe two factors for last Saturday, Steve. One, Colgate is playing as well as any Patriot League team this year at this point in the season. Lehigh's playing well, but Colgate's playing really well. But then number two, unlike the Cornell trip up to Ithaca, New York, or just 2 hours away to Lafayette over in Easton, this was a little bit longer trip, about 4 hours, and the temperature was a little bit different. The wind was certainly a factor, granted, for both teams. It was just kind of a combination of things. I think, you know, Colgate, Bucknell won the coin toss, deferred, which is typically the case. So Colgate ended up having to go into the wind, and on their very first drive, drove 75 yards and got a touchdown. Bucknell blocked the extra point, so only down 6-0. But I think that set the tone, and I think, unfortunately for Bucknell, Colgate came out with a purpose. They really felt they were cheated in a game against Lehigh a couple of weeks ago, and many people, even the Lehigh folks, felt the same, that not just one, not just two, but three touchdowns were taken off the board for Colgate or were given to Lehigh in just different plays. And right now, Lehigh, if they win out, they win the Patriot League. And I think Colgate is taking out its frustrations on every team since that Lehigh game.
No question. But they're not scoring points, Doug. So what is keeping them from scoring points? Is it long fields? Is it injuries? I mean, what are some of the factors that are keeping Bucknell from scoring points?
You hit it on really kind of both counts. The long field, although this past Saturday was not the case, I'll get to that in a second, and injuries. They have been without Joey DeFloria now the last couple of games. And while Chad Freshnock, who rushed for well over 600 yards last year, subbing for Joey, who rushed for over 1,000, he has played well, and they have a really dynamic freshman out of Rochester, New York, by the name of Marquise Carter. He's kind of getting his feet wet as a true first-year freshman. But I think injuries have played a part. The offensive line continues to try and mature. They're still, not inexperienced. You can't really use that excuse now as we're almost to the end of this season, but it's still more games you rack up. You do gain experience, as you well know, and any football fan knows. So that's also a factor. But, I think that the long field, particularly at Lafayette, that really hurt this team. Lafayette's defense is really good. I can't use that excuse, though, for this past week. Bucknell started at midfield. That was the one time that the Bison were able to score. Ended up getting a field goal by John Burdick from 28 yards. At the Colgate 42, at the 41, and at the 35. And not all of those were into the win and still unable to come up with points. Biggest thing that has haunted the Bison the last couple of weeks, turnovers. And as you well know, turnovers in any sport just kills you. And when you don't really have necessarily a dynamic offense, you're still trying to find your way, you have your best running back out for your last couple of games. If you turn the ball over and you give the other team momentum, takes away your chances, and then Colgate's good enough, they're going to take advantage of those chances. And it just kind of snowballed.
For this particular team at this moment, based on how it's playing out, is the complementary football between the defense and the special teams take on even greater importance?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt, and certainly both of those have risen to the challenge. Now, the defense, oddly enough, the most recent stats for our football contact in the Athletic Communications Office bears this out. The defense is actually given up in the red zone. That's 20 yards and in, of course. And they have given up 94% scores throughout the course of the year, every game. 77% of those times, the opponent has been able to score 6 points, a touchdown. And, boy, that's...
Well, believe it or not, though, Michigan's defense, highly touted, same numbers.
That is incredible, don't you think? Or do you think, and let me ask you a question, I know you're interviewing me, I guess, Steve, but do you think, with your knowledge of football, it's just that the offenses are so dynamic, it's really tough for a defense to slow them down?
Well, I think that once you get there, because you've driven already that far, I know the field shorts up, so it takes away a couple of things, but now you're in a rhythm offensively, and that's why you see, for example, Penn State has scored 87%. Their defense has given up, I think Penn State's actually pretty good, like 77%, but Ohio State was 89% giving up in the red zone, and Penn State was, by the way, 100% in the red zone Saturday against Ohio State. So I think once you get into a rhythm, I think that's why you see teams finish drives like that. I think it has more to do with offensive rhythm than the defense, of course. Now you're talking about play 8, 9, 10, so there's a better possibility you're tired at that point.
Well, that's a great point and very astute point on your part. And the rhythm thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think it has been tough for Bucknell's offense to get into a rhythm, to maybe know exactly what they want to do in the red zone, and maybe even further when the Bison offense gets inside the, say, 10 or 8-yard line, what you want to do. Do you want to be pretty much a ground game base, even though you have an offensive line that's still, even in game number 8, kind of learning its way? Or do you want to try some passes? So maybe the rhythm thing is a great point, Steve, because I don't know if Bucknell's offense has necessarily gained that rhythm.
All right, now it's going to be Lehigh coming in. Dominic Bragalone at running back. He's got over 800 yards rushing this year. What are your thoughts on this game and finally getting back home?
Well, that's going to be a big part. And then, of course, it's homecoming, which hopefully that will help enthuse the guys. And I'm sure that the guys will come out Friday night. There is the latest induction of the Athletics Hall of Fame members for this year's class. And I'm just trying to think. Actually, there is not a football member in, so the football guys may not necessarily stop by the terrorist room on Friday evening. But it just kind of provides more enthusiasm. So I think that the this team will feed off of that. That's one thing that Coach Susan has continuously said with this team. They don't get down on themselves. They don't give up. So I think that they're going to take the fight to Lehigh. Lehigh, as dramatic of scoring as Colgate put on the board on Saturday, Lehigh is probably the hottest offense in the league. Mm-hmm. Now, conversely, Lehigh has had its struggles defensively. So we'll see. I'll be at practice tonight just to kind of find out whether Joey is going to be able to play or not. Jack Horan also injured his leg. Don't know the extent of that injury. Have to see about that for this Saturday because he is the leading receiver for Bucknell this season. So there are a few factors in there. I think Bucknell offensively, they have not put up a touchdown in Patriot League play yet. I do believe they can score on Lehigh. The question is, can Bucknell, as you mentioned before, get Lehigh out of a rhythm, both with Dom Bragalone running the ball or with their great quarterback Brad Mays throwing the ball all over the lot? And they have some terrific receivers. Now, they had a couple of guys injured last week against Fordham, and they lost that game. But if Lehigh wants to win the Patriot League, they have to win out, most likely, because I have a feeling Colgate, they have a week off this week, then they play on the road at Lafayette and at Georgetown. I have to feel they'll win both those games. So that's going to put pressure on Lehigh. Lehigh has Bucknell. They always have that rivalry with Lafayette as well. So, we'll just kind of have to wait and see how things play out. I'm sure Lehigh is going to be fired up. Do they have a lot of injuries to their offense? Those guys, good receivers, not be able to play this Saturday. Can Bucknell get a rhythm against Lehigh's not-so-terrific defense? Hey, that's why they play the games, right?
Right, exactly. We're also 10 days away from the opener in basketball, and when CBS came out with its 1-351, they had Penn State, by the way, 68. They had Bucknell at a nice 72 right there. It's a veteran team, Doug, that they have this year. What do you like about the cohesiveness of Bucknell basketball and what Nathan Davis is going to have to work with?
Well, the biggest thing is that word cohesiveness. Steve, in the just pick up during the camp. Everybody has a camp where they have different recruits in or whatever, and it's open for everybody. And this summer, Bucknell obviously held a camp on campus, and so all the guys kind of help out during the camp. But then after the camp day is through, they'll go and play pickup. And I was over at Soika that particular night when they were playing pickup, and even though they split the group up, obviously, for the pickup games, they just seem to have a sixth sense about where everybody's going to be on the floor and what everybody's going to do. And, back in the 05-06 season for Bucknell, where they ended up going back to the NCAA tournament and beating Arkansas and then losing to number one seeded Memphis, that was how that team played on the court. They just kind of knew where everybody was going to be, and you can't discount that. Now, Bucknell's schedule is going to be really tough here in the non-league portion. Right. So you hope that you can grind out a couple of wins somewhere along that tough slate and that you're not just beaten down mentally when you get into Patriot League play. But I do feel like that cohesiveness that you kind of talked about, that's going to be able to set this team apart as the season goes along. And hopefully, again, they can hang in there with some of these tough teams.
But that tough schedule, the idea is to win the Patriots, a one-bid league. That tough non-conference schedule, Doug, should serve them well to actually make them mentally tough to go through a conference grind, shouldn't it?
I agree. As long as, if you do take some losses, you don't mentally beat yourself up. You understand, hey, these are really good teams we're facing night in, night out. It's like, it's like the Penn State schedule, being in the Big Ten and playing those type teams every night, back to back to back. That's what Bucknell's pre-league schedule is going to look like. If mentally they don't get caught up in that, and hey, if they win a few, then the sky's the limit. But if they don't get caught up in any kind of losses beating them down mentally, I think it will definitely pay off come league time.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Let's flip it to the other side. The teams that they're playing, their fan bases are not going to get it when they see Bucknell play them tough or win the game. Bucknell is not exactly a team that if you're the opposing coach, you want to see come to town. It's just the way it is because you're in a no-win position if you're on that side. You're like, Bucknell beat you? Or you beat Bucknell. Okay, fine. You know what I mean? It's all that perception. And Bucknell's going to win. They're going to win some of these games. They're going to. It's simple as that. They're just too good not to.
I love your confidence, Steve. I agree. I think they can, for sure. But to back to your point, in the 05-06 season that I had mentioned before, great example of that. Bucknell went up to Chicago and played DePaul. Now, DePaul has been down for a number of years, and they weren't necessarily a great team, maybe a 500 team that season. Right. But after Bucknell beat them, and it was actually a close game, the DePaul fans, that's all they had to say was, who is this Bucknell team? So, yeah, you're right. The fans definitely will not know. I'm sure, though, that the coaches for all of these teams, they will know
they
about
know.
Bucknell.
Oh, they'll know. They'll try and convince their players left right. Fan base, you lost to Bucknell? Or, hey, beat Bucknell. Fine. And they have no idea how good they are. You know, they'll go, hey, they're in the tournament. We played them. That's when suddenly the light goes on. Doug, it's an absolute pleasure as always, my friend. You sound better than ever, and I really appreciate the time you gave us today.
Steve, it's such a great opportunity for me to talk with you. You're the best, my man.
Well, thank you, Doug. Appreciate that. Doug will be out at Maddie's tomorrow, by the way, as at least some of the broadcast team goes.
We won't mention who won't be there.
That's all right, Sean. Mention it.
That's all right. He's right here behind me.
Oh, good. Must have just finished with a big lunch meeting. All right. Doug, thank you, my friend. You're wonderful. We don't cross paths often enough.
Hey, thank you, Steve. And I appreciate all that Sean does. And, hey, I'll even give a shout-out to Kevin, too.
Well, you're contractually obligated. All right, thanks so much. Doug Birdsong, the outstanding voice of Bucknell football, basketball, and you name anything else on campus. He is as versatile and as good as it gets. We will come back with more in a moment. I feel like I'm throwing Sean under the bus at the moment here, because by going to a commercial break, he is now about to be held verbally hostage by the suit on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
O'Malley takes the snap, goes to pass, has time. Now as he throws, man is open the end zone. It's going to be picked off. Coming up the far sideline is Johnoff. Johnoff ran one back for 64. He has a block at the 40. Comes to the 50. Down the sideline to the 40. To the 35. To the 30. To the 20. To the 10. Touchdown! Colin Johnoff has won the game on a 90-yard interception return for six. Oh my, oh mighty, it's over here in Easton, and Bucknell is in the thick of the Patriot League race.
Sort of a Star Trek touchdown, like they just, like the ball falls to the dude and then suddenly they beam him into the end zone. Did I miss something there, Sean?
Live well and prosper.
I mean, I don't want to get into the Vulcan mind meld thing, because, I mean, you and I are going to go, okay. But, like, the ball fell out of the sky, and, like, he's in the end zone. Did he run? I'm asking you. I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know either.
Play the promo again. Do you have it available?
I have to look for it here.
Yeah. I'm confused. Now, I know they scored a touchdown. I get the pick six thing and the whole thing, and you know, I got it. But I listened to it, and I was just...
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Chickalemme Braves football is on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
That one knocked out of the sky and picked up by Mercado. Touchdown, Chickalemme! Pass deflected, and it drops into the hands of Mercado, and one of the best defenses for scoring touchdowns has done it again, another pick six.
Parallel to the goal line, maybe?
Maybe. I mean,
yeah.
We know he's in the building because he was bothering us during the break.
Yeah, he just walked out.
Where is
he standing on that play? We just ran the promo.
Oh, you haven't even heard. Okay.
Well, he just called the game. Not even he's sure.
No, he's not sure.
Okay, they won the game, right? Let's start with the simple stuff. Does he remember that part?
They did win that night, yes.
Okay, good. Okay. I mean, they're playing so great defensively, the ball is just falling out of the sky.
He's going to go listen to it. Can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, but doesn't he have a sale to make?
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is putting other import brands on high alert with their drastic new Hyundai reductions. While other dealers have 2017 Accents for $17,140, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has Accents starting at $12,890. Compare a Toyota Camry with a 2017 Sonata for $18,965. And you decide which is the better value. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors has 13 Hyundai Tucson starting at $23,143. Save up to $49.49 on a 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. Santa Fe Sport start at $25,766. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Brand new Elantras start at $16,680. With these prices, Sunbury Motors Hyundai is putting other import brands on high alert. SMC Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Accents and honest. Santa Fe models with SMC loaner vehicles.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. By the way, Fox, how well did Fox do on Saturday? We know about the really high number they got for the World Series. Well, that was set up by their highest ever regular season broadcast of a college football game. Penn State, Ohio State delivered an absolutely incredible 6.4 overnight rating. That is the highest ranking, highest rating that Fox has ever had for a college football game in the regular season. It's their highest regular season rating ever. In the fourth quarter, it peaked at 9.0. That is a monster rating in that time slot. That's a monster rating in that time slot for Penn State, Ohio State. They got a 9.0 from 7 o'clock on. Easily the highest for the day. If you're wondering what was in second place for the day, ABC's game between Oklahoma State and West Virginia got a 2.5. I mean, that is a wipeout. Second highest non-bowl game. And it's actually higher than the Michigan State-Ohio State game in 2013 for the Big Ten Championship. It was actually even higher than Penn State-Wisconsin last year, which was a 5.3, which is huge. And the World Series beat out Sunday Night Football. That game, actually, the World Series Game 5 crushed the Steelers-Lions game. Crushed it. Not what the NFL wanted to see, because the oddity is in the 2000s into the early 20-teens, Sunday Night Football always beat the World Series. Not happening anymore. Not happening anymore. Highest regular season rating in this decade is Ohio State-Michigan. The double overtime game last year did a 10.4 overnight. But for Fox, which threw $240 million, $50 million more into the pot than ESPN did, that was the payoff to get a Penn State-Ohio State game or an Ohio State-Michigan game. And Penn State, by the way, is on Fox this week. Now, it is not Gus Johnson this week. It's Joe Davis, the man that took over for Vin Scully and the Dodgers broadcast. He'll be doing the game this week with Brady Quinn. So that's the end. Bruce Feldman, by the way, is the sideline reporter. Sean. Okay.
Excellent.
Just I thought I'd throw that in there.
Glad you did. Yeah, he did. He did terrific during the pregame on Fox last Saturday. Did a terrific segment with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And shot him a text afterwards and gave him his props. And actually, yeah, I got a text back from him like under a minute later and got a thanks from Bruce. So yeah, it was terrific.
Yeah, they were at the hotel. I didn't see Gus. I saw Joel Klatt, saw Bruce. They were there. It's funny because it was snowing in the morning at the hotel.
Yeah,
on Saturday morning.
I caught a little bit of game day. It was right after 10:30. They're showing a little, like Herb Street kind of did a little quarter turn. It's like, hey, guys, take a look. Got some snow there. Well, it didn't last too long.
It snowed more at the hotel than it did at the stadium. And they just came out of meetings, and Saquon comes out. And he goes, what? Oh. And he goes out into it, and he goes back and goes, oh, man. I said, Saquon. He goes, what? I said, it's stopping. He goes, oh, okay, Steve. I said, this is not going to be for the game. Okay, good. All right, good. All right. Then Marcus Allen came out, and he kind of like made this face like, oh. Right? But then Grant Haley went out, and he's taking pictures of it. Right, this is great. I'm going to send this back to Atlanta. This is great. And then the linemen went out and they just stood in and said, this is wonderful. The linemen were funny. Standing out in the snow. All right, so Halloween is tonight. Now, how do you treat that at your house?
We live we live down an alley that's really, really dark. So if we really celebrated Halloween, we could have a lot of fun with it because we have two black cats in the house. And I'd say about 20 years ago, before Deb and I got married, we got into the costume thing, and like she was Dorothy and I was the Scarecrow together one year. And
Very nice.
Yeah. And right about the time the Dick Tracy movie came out with Madonna and Warren Beatty. We were at a bar gig in Williamsport doing a Halloween party, and there I was. You know, it's dimly lit throughout the night, and there I am with the yellow trench coat and the hat and the whole ball of wax. I was pretty easy to spot.
Okay.
And she was Breathless, and I was Dick Tracy. That was pretty cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was where we were at our most creative, really celebrating Halloween. But we get an occasional, you know, kid or two down our alley. But with it being pretty dark, they usually kind of don't come down our alley.
Right, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
I actually have fewer children come by than in past years. I mean, we haven't really had a lot. I mean, because you know the neighborhood I live in.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of kids in the neighborhood. Now, there's a couple up the street from me, across the street, and then my neighbors have two boys next to us over here. Now, I try to make sure when I see them and I recognize them, they're getting all extras, you know. But I'm usually the one with the bowl saying, hey, look, take as many as you want. I mean, literally, because I'm trying to get rid of it.
Yeah. we got a bag of Milky Way and a bag of Snickers just in case.
Well, Kathy, she overbuys. Right? I'm like, hey, you don't need that much. We don't get that many. But then there's the other part. Now, I won't actually be back till 7:15 because there's football practice tonight. So I'm not going to be back until the last half hour of it goes 6 to 8 here.
Yep, 6 to 8 6 to 8 for us too.
But again, we don't get a lot of kids through here. I mean, you'd think there'd be a steady stream, but like the neighborhood's grown up. You know, I mean, that's part of it. The neighborhood's grown up. And I think there are more kids up at the top of the development. I think they eventually migrate down here. But what I do, the evil grandfather, 3 of the 4 grandchildren live here. Now, my other one, my grandson, is just a little bit more than a year old. So getting him candy would be counterproductive. Okay. All right. Now, that's going to change. But I go out and I get the big bars, and I get them 3 each.
There you go. No fun and size here.
Oh, no, no.
That's
no, no,
fun
no, no,
size
no, no, no.
time 3.
No, 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 no.
There
and
you
so
go.
Then when they get here, when they're done, I hand it to them, right? And they love that. See, there's certain things that I do, for example. And I do this on my own.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for Easter, I left Easter baskets out on their porch.
I remember you told me that, yes.
No, from the Easter Bunny.
Yes.
I leave them Christmas presents on Christmas morning that I deliver after midnight that they think are from Santa. They, you know.
Very nice.
Just look. That's a little kid in me, what the heck. But, you know. But when your granddaughter says, nobody would ever believe this. Right. And my daughter figured it out who was doing this because she recognized the handwriting on the note.
So then when she saw you, she kind of gave you the quarter turn of the head and the smirk.
when they see you later in the day,
yeah,
they go, you wouldn't believe what happened today. What? And I go, what?
What could you possibly be talking about?
I had no idea what you're talking about. My goodness. And when Kevin co-hosted the show, I did the same thing with the suit. I'd go by and there'd be a lump of coal, and no, it's a little bit different. But you gotta have fun with it. I think it's just the fun of it. That's all I'm trying to accomplish with it. Just have a little bit of fun. That's what it comes down to. You know, they love it, so what the heck? Now, we have enough dentists that sponsor this show, so they're all endorsing what I'm doing. what the heck? So we got Dick in Milton's with us. Hello, Dick. How are you today?
I'm good, Steve, but I had a question, not sports-related, but it is in a sense. Because you said, that's what I get for my grandkids when you said about... When you go out around State College, how many questions people come up to you and ask you questions about Penn State? I guess that's my question. Yeah.
A lot.
It's not like you're invisible when you're out shopping somewhere.
No, I get stopped a lot. I mean, when my kids were growing up, because, I mean, I've done this for a long time now.
I understand that.
It was something where, after a while, I think it started to bother them a little bit. So I just started going out and just doing it on my own. But I get stopped a lot. Yeah.
Well, I guess the reason I was asking you is
but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me, but I do get stopped.
Well, the reason I was kind of asking you that is because I know you have your shows, you have your other stuff. Maybe your time's budgeted. Is there things you won't do because of that? You understand my question?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There are a couple things that around here, like they want to go to the Grange Fair, or if they want to go to Bowlesburg for Memorial Day or whatever, I won't go. Because it then becomes a really long... Not because of me. I don't go because I don't want my family to keep getting stopped and waiting for me. That's all.
That was kind of like my whole my question to you.
Yeah, I mean, but everybody's nice, though, Dick. So it's not like I'm not getting bothered or whatever. Like this morning, I'm in line at Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm just getting a cup of coffee before I head over to work, and two people come up and said, are you still in mourning over what happened? You know, things like that happen to me all the time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me because everybody is really, really nice. But in big crowds, for example, like the Grange Fair here, I haven't gone in years because of that. Because the last time I did, it was a long day. Bowlesburg for Memorial Day, I won't go. I mean, I've gone to Phillies games, and I get stopped at Phillies games. I've gone to Pirates games, and my son Mike looked at me the last time he and I went to a Pirates game, and he said, "Geez, Dad, why don't you just hold a press conference?"
Well, yeah, I understand that. I mean, most people wouldn't even think, maybe even not think about somebody that has some notoriety going out in public like that.
But you know what? But it doesn't bother me because I end up being, I know for the most part, Dick, that I'm like the connection between the team and fans because they can't, you know, it's not like they're going to see Saquon Barkley running around town. They're not going to see, you know, now James will get stopped a lot. And he gets, like, James will go into Target or Wegmans or whatever, and he always makes time for everybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll actually go out and he'll do things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that happens to me all the time, but it's something I've become really, really used to. But, yeah, there are a couple things I don't do any longer because it can be, the what I refer to as the every 5 foot rule. It's like, okay.
Well, what brought this up when you said your wife got the Halloween candy, but then you go out and get the big bars for your grandkids?
I do.
And made me think,
I do.
Wonder if he does. How he deals with that. That was my only reason.
Because I went over, what I did was I bought the candy at Wegmans.
Right.
And I got stopped going in. Then I got stopped on the way again. Then I finally was able to get it. Then I went and checked out, and the checkout person, who's an absolute sweetheart, kept talking to me the entire time about the game. And then there were people behind me, and I didn't want to hold them up. And then when I pulled out of there, I got stopped on the way to the door. And then I got stopped again on the way to the door, and I got stopped a third time on the way to the door. All really nice people, but it is a little bit more of a process. But it's a process I embrace because I would never give up this job or the opportunity. And everybody treats me really, really nice. And hopefully, I hope everybody feels I treat them nice in return.
Yeah, well, State College is still kind of small-town America compared to. You could do that. You could be a coach in some places or announcer, and you could
be totally anonymous. And be totally anonymous, yeah.
Right.
And I understand that. I mean, the most important thing is that you make time for people, and don't be really stupid about it. In other words, don't let anything go to your head. I mean, that's what it becomes bad if you're like, oh, well, I'm like, whatever. That's not the way it needs to be.
I understand that. Well, let's go with a couple more games here. Let's go.
Yeah, let's see. It's going to start this week. So, all right. So, believe me, I'm not complaining in the least. There are no complaints on my part, but I'm just answering your question.
Yep, I understand. Well, thanks for the time.
No, thank you, Dick. Thanks for your time.
Bye.
Okay, we will come back with more of my. And you know, hey, I had to get the candy bars.
Yeah. Halloween. Come on. Can't be empty-handed.
I had to do it.
Come on.
Well, you know, you got to come through.
Yeah.
You know, I got to come through here, you know. And I see it sitting on my desk here in the Sunbury Motor Studio because that's one thing about the Sunbury Motor Studio. As you know where the location of it is.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
In my basement.
Right.
I can hide everything here. Because nobody comes down here except me. So I can
put some primo spots, yes.
If I want to put their presence there or anyone's presence here, I can put them down in here or in the closet.
Oh, I can think of at least a half a dozen spots. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
Right. So this is what, and I, you know, I'll wrap in here. And I mean wrap gifts. I don't mean me listening to rap.
Mo Money, Mo Problems.
Okay. I can't imagine you'd have more money, more problems. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Yeah, that's just me just enjoying it. Boy, Sean is moving.
Yes.
You are really moving there, Sean.
I got to move out of here and get home to catch the series tonight. Is Houston going to win it tonight?
I think if Houston's best shot is to win it tonight, because I think if they don't win tonight, they're not going to win tomorrow. Just a prediction.
I heard a baseball analyst yesterday say he's just not startled or surprised, but just the way the team has brought in Verlander in just such the short period of time, he has become the leader of the team.
Because he's the guy that's been around the block. See, that's the big part. When you're the guy that's been around the block, they know it. You know, you bring in a little different cachet. And that's the... That's the big part right there. You bring a little bit different cachet to the table than everybody else has. And that's really cool. You know, you're like, it's Justin Verlander. It's Justin Verlander. It's Justin Verlander. Right? So, and they love that. Plus his fiance. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. That's Kate Upton.
It certainly is.
Feeling better by the minute.
There's wagers going on in Vegas over under how many shots of, you know, Kate's shots on TV there.
Actually, how many were there in game two? I don't recall many at all.
I've only seen one.
Normally Fox does pictures of those who are going to be starring in Fox programs.
Yeah, a little cross promotion. Yeah.
Yeah, they do some cross promotion, that's it.
I understand that with the Dodgers games. It's like watching a Laker game. It's like, okay, let's see who's all out there. You know, you got John Legend and Justin Timberlake and yeah.
I understand that. Yeah, you know, and of course, yeah, and they've got all that. And of course, if it's an NFL game, they have to show Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones. They're both on the TV committee. I mean, even when it's, for example, like Fox is doing a game, and it's between the Giants, right, and the Eagles, they still cut away to a shot of Robert Kraft. Hey, wait a minute. It's on the TV committee. Chris Soleri to talk about Michigan State football coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Get Chris on to talk about Michigan State, how it's played out. Tough loss in triple overtime to Northwestern. Big win over Michigan. And maybe how good is Notre Dame, since Chris got a chance to see that game at East Lansing as well. That's tomorrow.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.